The Man I Am and Will Be by Morvith. Read by Cookie Mom 6067. Chapter 1. Halfway up the first flight of stairs, Eugenio gives in and starts running, taking the steps two at a time and not caring one bit about the noise. It can't be louder than his own heart, anyway. Maybe that's what it means to have your heart in your throat, he thinks distantly as he sprints down the corridor. The nursery door slams against the wall, startling his sister so badly she drops both Clear Mind, Clear Magic and her smuggled copy of The Tigers of Montprestchem. She was actually reading behind it.
Giorgio, what?
He's here. Uncle Niccolo is here. It's happening.
Eugenio pants, slipping his wand out of his pocket and hurriedly summoning his school trunk. He'll be in trouble for this, but he doesn't trust Mother not to make a fuss if he uses any of the usual luggage, even if they are definitely more spacious. No matter. His school trunk will do.
Get your stuff. Come on. He said you had to pack.
Oh. Cecilia goes white and swallows hard, her hands clenched into fists at her side. Eugenio drops the trunk on the floor, opens it with a flicker of his wand, then spins and throws the wardrobe doors open, grabbing clothes by the handful and throwing them on the bed.
Get a move on, Chechi. What do you want to take?
Cecilia shakes her head, her eyes fluttering nervously around the room as though she had never seen it before.
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
Eugenio upends the sock drawer on the pile of clothes, shaking it more forcefully than strictly necessary.
Chechi, we talked about this. Haven't you thought about what to take at all?
Cecilia shakes her head without a word, and he bites down on his irritation.
Never mind, we'll have to do it now.
Oh no, she's wringing her hands again.
But didn't he say what I'm supposed to take? What if I take something that's not allowed? What if they throw it away? Chechi, what on earth?
It takes him a second to realize what she means, what she thinks, and he drops the scarves and gloves drawer on his foot.
Damn it, Chechi, no!
He limps across the room as fast as he can, his hands gripping her shoulders.
You are not going to a muggle orphanage or whatever. You are going to live with Uncle Niccolo.
She bows her head lower, not looking at him.
You can't know that,
she whispers, so softly he barely hears her.
There's no way. Giorgio, it's what I asked after all. He doesn't need to put himself out more than that.
Eugenio bites down on several swear words. The sad truth is, she is right. He doesn't know it, not for sure. He should have stayed back and eavesdropped more, but Uncle Niccolo said that Cecilia needed to pack, that she was going with him, and Father looked furious. But maybe it just means he didn't agree to the Muggle orphanage plan. But if he didn't agree, Uncle Niccolo would have just backed down, wouldn't he? There was no need to come all the way to the house, and he talked about custody, Eugenio is sure he did. Perhaps it's foolish of him to put his trust in a virtual stranger, in the Genovese black sheep, a man often cited as lacking all proper family feelings. But what other choice does he have? Nobody else has Cecilia's best interest at heart except Eugenio himself, and he is only 13 years old. There's really not much he can do. Eugenio pulls Cecilia into the tightest hug he can.
Get all your things, he says.
Hoping against hope, his voice sounds calm and even.
Everything you can't bear to leave behind.
He forces himself to let go and step back, to look around the room. She'll want her books, though not her stupid textbooks. The bigger toys, like the rocking horse or the dollhouse, belong to the house. But some of the dolls are hers, and the gobstone set, and of course Dora the Dragon.
Tell me which toys you want while you finish your clothes. I'm not packing your underwear, he adds, pushing her towards the chest of drawers.
Dora,
comes the immediate reply, as Cecilia hurriedly adds underpants and undershirts to the pile.
No, wait. Maybe you should hide her.
with Fazioli.
Eugenio bites his lips, considering, as he pulls the contraband Muggle novels out of their hiding places. His old stuffed unicorn is the safest toy in the world. The first big lie he told his parents, claiming he had got rid of him on his own accord when he knew they were getting ready to do it for him. Dora would be safe with him, too. He could keep her until they meet again. Their parents would never, ever find her, and it would be nice to have something of Cecilia's. Everything of hers that gets left behind will be thrown away. Erased. Like she never existed. Whether she goes to a Swiss clinic, or a Muggle orphanage, or...
Please.
Uncle Niccolo's house. Cecilia is only a kid, though. She'll need her favorite toy. Eugenio mustn't be selfish. Hopefully Uncle Niccolo will let her keep Dora at least a little longer. Take her, he tells her, hoping to sound reassuring. You'll be fine.
Where's your other doll, the one with the pink dress?
She's one of the houses. Paolo the Panther is mine, and the colored pencils, too.
Eugenio adds the sketchbooks, completed or otherwise, before she can protest. Anything else? Cecilia puts another pair of shoes on the bed and looks around, picking at her nails again.
I think that's all. Do you think I should take... I don't know. Something to help. Bed sheets. But those belong to the house, or...
Or to mother and father. Even if they don't really consider Cecilia their daughter anymore. They are too proud to send her off with just the clothes on her back. But might quibble that household stuff is Uncle Niccolo's responsibility now.
Take your pillow,
Eugenio says, taking out his wand again. Cecilia nods and quickly takes off the pillowcase, throws the pillow on top of everything else, and takes a step back. It really is everything. An entire life, really. And it doesn't seem enough. It seems too small, too little. Eugenio swallows hard and swings his wand, his hand trembling as he goes through the motions of the packing spells, in spite of his months of practice. Clothes first, then shoes, then books and papers, then toys. They all shrink and float into the trunk. It takes some concentration, but he makes sure Dora ends up near the top, so Cecilia will find her easily. He really hopes it's not a mistake. The pillow follows last, and the trunk lid quivers. The enlarging charms are straining at the seams. Even if Uncle Niccolo sends it back, he'll need a new one for school. Eugenio lowers his wand, wipes the sweat off his brows.
Are you sure there's nothing else?
Cecilia starts nodding, but pauses halfway, her eyes widening.
Oh, one more thing. Is there room?
Eugenio nods, his fingers clenching around his wand as Cecilia flitters away. Of course there will be, even if she decides to take her desk and chair, or even all her furniture. Fortunately for his trunk, she comes back holding an enchanted music box, a christening present from Uncle Niccolo himself, if he remembers right. Cecilia has always loved it. Eugenio has one too, somewhere, that projects sea creatures around the room instead of stars and galaxies like Cecilia's. No matter. Into the trunk it goes, and Cecilia helps him push the lid closed. Eugenio wipes his forehead with the back of his hand.
Done, he winces. Oh, no. We forgot the laundry. Is there anything you particularly cared about in there?
Cecilia shrugs.
Nothing I can't do without.
Eugenio purses his lips and doesn't insist, though he silently promises to try and recover anything he can. He looks critically at Cecilia's clothes, noting with approval that she changed her shoes. It's only a house dress, nothing like mother's traveling ensembles, but it will do.
Do you have a cloak?
Before she can answer, the house shakes, and the nursery door slams shut. Cecilia screams. Eugenio turns and pulls her into a hug.
Shh, shh, it's okay.
He tentatively reaches out with his magic, seeking the connection to Air House. The house is angry, but not with us. He pats her shoulder.
Are you sure?
She looks up at him, her eyes filled with tears.
Can you tell what happened?
He closes his eyes, sinking deeper into the connection. Though it's hard to get a clear picture, all the images are blurry and distorted, like looking up from underwater. He can make out three people down in the parlor, a flash of light, green, and Eugenio's breath freezes in his lungs. But it's not the killing curse, thank God, and Mother's wand on the floor, burning. I think... He swallows hard, feeling his mouth dry and his heart hammering in his throat, wondering if he should tell her at all.
I think Mother tried to attack Uncle Niccolo.
What?
Cecilia looks up, her eyes wide.
Why?
Eugenio shrugs. Perhaps it's weird for a boy his age. Easy to dismiss his teenage contrariness. But he gave up understanding his parents a long time ago. They are not a family, just people living in the same house, and now that's not even true for most of the year. The only family he has here is leaving tonight, has to leave tonight.
Do you think?
Cecilia glances at the closed door, at the windows, like a trapped animal.
What if they won't let me leave?
Eugenio wishes he could count on Uncle Niccolo. He came this far. He probably won't back down now. One does not become a professional Quidditch player against his family's will by giving up at the first difficulty, but... What does he know of Niccolo Genovese, really? Only what he read in newspapers and magazines. It would be nice if he could really know. He grits his teeth, his wand close at hand.
I won't allow it.
God only knows how he'll do it, alone against his parents, but he has to do something. He absently pats his pocket and the small bag of flu powder he stole from the vase in the hall, enough to get him and Cecilia to Paride's house, and then, God help them, all of them. Not for the first time he wishes he was older. It would all be so much easier if he was older. Maybe he should get her to Paride's anyway. They can sneak down to the entrance hall while his parents are distracted by Uncle Niccolo. If things go well, Uncle Niccolo can always pick her up from there. But he's not sure about Signor and Signora Trivisonno either. Paride is certain they will help once they explain the situation, and they have always been very nice to Eugenio whenever he visited, but they are still an unknown quantity. Paride still trusts his parents, imagine that. And Eugenio would hate to be the reason he stops. He takes Cecilia by the hand and leads her back to her stripped bed. Sit down. We might as well wait comfortably. Only there's no way to do it, is there? When Eugenio was younger and not so good at sitting still and quiet for hours on end, Nonna Olympia would joke that he looked like he was sitting on hot coals, and he would find it so confusing. Why would anyone sit on hot coals? Not that he knew precisely what they were. If they sat by accident, wouldn't they move? It took 10 years, but now he knows exactly what she meant. Ironic, really, since the strictest etiquette master or the most exacting matron or even Nonna Maria Vittoria would not find fault in his posture and composure now. Eugenio clears his throat.
You remember what I told you about Uncle Niccolo, right?
He doesn't wait for an answer before launching into a lecture again, all information gleaned from years and years of interviews and articles, condensed and presented as neatly as he can. He could talk for hours about Uncle Niccolo's career, his husband's too, for all that he had to retire early. But his private life has always been more guarded, and that's what Cecilia needs to know.
He and Joel Cesani got married last year. Remember Joel Cesani? They used to play together in the old guard. That's how they met. Alcesani had to retire 5 years ago after a really bad injury. We used to light candles for him every time we went to church, didn't we?
Eugenio blinks. Surprised she remembered.
Yeah, we did. Maybe don't tell them, though. Not sure they'd like it.
He clears his throat again.
So... Joe Alcesani is technically our uncle, too. You'll be living with him, too.
Uncle Joe?
Uncle Yusuf? Somehow it feels wrong, much too presumptuous to address him as such. I guess he'll tell you what to call him. He's in fashion now. Here Eugenia's knowledge fails him again. He vainly racks his brain for something, anything. Remember the red dress Mother bought for the Christmas party a couple of years ago? That was one of his. Was that why Grandmother Maria Vittoria made her return it? Eugenio hadn't realized that Chechi knew. He shrugs helplessly, privately wishing he could kick himself for his lack of information. I don't know, maybe. Anyway, they are both friends with Calda, Domenico Caldara, I mean, and his wife Elisa, and then there's Alcazani's family. Three younger sisters. But he also used to mention cousins and aunts and uncles in his interviews. They looked nice. Louder than the Genovese, but that's not hard. Warmer, maybe. And Eugenio really hopes they will welcome Cecilia, that they will treat her well. Maybe one of the Alcazani cousins will be around their age. Take Cecilia under his or her wing and show her around. Play non-magical games and just watch over her. Like he won't be able to do. Perhaps they'll get along better. Have more things in common. Perhaps Cecilia will get a new older sister. God knows he hasn't always been a good brother. There were all those times he was impatient, he got annoyed, he got angry. He should have been better. The door slowly swings open. Eugenia reaches for the house again. He doesn't get a vision this time. And though Airhouse is still upset, it feels calmer now, more settled, less furiously protective. I think we can go downstairs now. Eugenio stands and tries levitating the trunk again. His magic is precise but not strong. The trunk wobbles, raises maybe a centimeter off the ground, then falls back down on the floor with a thud. Eugenio sighs. I guess I'll have to carry it. I can help. Cecilia reaches for one of the handles, but he pushes her hand away. No, leave it. I can do it. The last service he can do for her. Though Carrie was a tad over-optimistic, even with the state-of-the-art feather-like charm, all he can manage is to drag it along. The noise is bad enough as they go down the hall, but once they reach the stairs, it gets even worse. Perhaps it's not such a bad thing. At least downstairs they'll hear them coming. The situation is bound to be tense. Eugenia would rather carry 100 trunks than have to brave the Rose Parlor. Luckily for him, as they turn down the last flight of stairs, it becomes clear he won't have to. Uncle Niccolo is already down in the hall, waiting for them. It's a little unnerving to be the focus of his attention, especially since Eugenio can't really gauge his mood. He doesn't look angry or annoyed, which is a definite plus. If Eugenio didn't know better, he'd say he looks nervous. Their parents are nowhere to be seen, which is probably a good thing. Uncle Niccolo surprises him again by addressing him first. Thank you, Eugenio. Hello, Ippolita. I'm your Uncle Niccolo. I got your letter. His right hand twitches, as though he wanted to offer it for a handshake but didn't dare to, because handshakes between relatives are a bit ridiculous. Except, they are effectively strangers. The curse of Genovese manners. Eugenio understands it very well. Have you packed everything? Cecilia nods mutely. Uncle Niccolo at least doesn't seem angry. Okay, good. Do you have a cloak? The air is colder in England. The cloak again. And Chechi never did answer him, did she? Has she even got a cloak, or didn't they bother to replace it? Eugenio lays a hand on her shoulder and gives it a reassuring, affectionate squeeze. She can have mine. He barely finishes pronouncing the incantation that his green cloak floats gently from his hook. Eugenio snatches it from the air and wraps it around Cecilia's shoulders. A bit long, just as he thought, but not enough to trip her. And she prefers Cecilia, actually, he adds as he closes the golden fastenings around her neck. Is that so? Uncle Niccolo asks Cecilia, and Eugenio listens for the barest hint of irritation or mocking in his tone, yet he finds nothing. Even when Cecilia nods again instead of answering, his voice remains calm and even. "I'm sorry I didn't know that." He does hold out his hand this time. "I am very happy to meet you, Cecilia. Thank you for choosing to trust me and my husband." Cecilia apparently didn't expect it. It's such a normal, harmless gesture, though it's enough to make her jump and hesitate before reaching out and shaking his hand. Eugenio feels something inside him unravel, some hidden tension he hadn't noticed before release. Uncle Niccolo asks Cecilia if she's ready. She nods, and that's it. It's done. He has done it. Cecilia is really leaving. She is safe. Eugenio could laugh, or cry, or both. But of course he will do neither. Not now, at least. Not in public. "Don't you want to say goodbye to your brother?" Eugenio is genuinely surprised by the offer. So is Cecilia, but Uncle Niccolo reassures her she can take as long as she wants, and she throws herself into Eugenio's arms for one last hug. He immediately hugs her back, holding on tightly.
"You'll come, won't you?"
Cecilia whispers hurriedly, after casting a quick glance at Uncle Niccolo over her shoulder.
"In 4 years' time, will you come? Even if things aren't bad, will you come?"
"Of course I will. I promise."
He will be counting down the days, though he won't tell her that.
"And you, give them a chance, okay? Just one."
He feels Cecilia freeze and break their hug. Has he pushed her too hard? Has he been too insistent? But it wasn't him at all. Father has decided to show his face after all. Eugenio doesn't understand why he would bother if he wasn't even going to say a word. Is he really going to let his daughter leave without a word? A hug would have been too much to ask for, but one word. Well, apparently that was too much, too. Eugenio clenches his fist by his side, trembling as hot, burning rage fills every corner of his being, sweeps through him like a tide of fire. God, he has never felt so angry in his entire life. Even Arahouse can feel it, creaking worriedly. Cecilia brushes her hand against his as she turns away from their father and to their uncle, her voice steady and clear when she announces she is ready to leave. Uncle Niccolo floats up her trunk and holds the door open for her. Eugenio does not miss the way he glares at his father, though she probably does, just as she misses father slinking back into the parlor. The first time Eugenio has seen him back down from anyone. Grandfather and grandmother do not count. They are always of one mind and one spirit. If Uncle Niccolo wasn't already his hero, he would be so now. So this is it. Cecilia is out of the house. Uncle Niccolo floats her trunk after her as she walks down the stairs but lingers in the doorway, staring at Eugenio with his sharp, too clever eyes once again. Eugenio barely manages to suppress the urge to fidget. He is not sure what's keeping Uncle Niccolo. If he has something he wants to tell him. Probably just a goodbye, although Eugenio wouldn't mind some reassurance that he and Mr. Alcazani will take care of Cecilia. He is not prepared for what Uncle Niccolo says next.
"If you ever need anything."
"I'll be fine. You must think about Cecchi now."
Interrupting one of his elders, the height of bad manners, but Eugenio cannot let him finish that sentence or he will break. He is 5 years old again, daydreaming about what life would be like if he was Uncle Niccolo's son. Just a little childish fantasy he never told anyone, not even Cecilia, even before he understood just how impossible it was.
"I'll be fine."
Uncle Niccolo does not look entirely convinced. From what little Eugenio knows of his childhood, he cannot really blame him. He still manages a smile because as much as the unspoken offer hurts, he is unbelievably touched Uncle Niccolo would try and offer it all.
Don't you know? I am the Genovese heir.
An imperfect, barely adequate heir, but the Genovese heir nonetheless, for good and for ill. None of their cousins had proved particularly brilliant or capable enough to supplant him. Not that his parents would allow it without a fight. His grandparents would insist on an official adoption, but that's more out of a desire to keep the power in the main family line than fondness for him. Uncle Niccolo is still looking at him. Eugenio wonders what he sees, what he thinks of him. Almost as if Uncle Niccolo could read his mind. But he can't. This is not an answer to his doubts. He raises his right hand to his heart and bows at the waist, as though he were standing in front of the head of the family, as though Eugenio already was the head of the family. And Eugenio is speechless, breathless. Well, he knows it's not a dream, because he would have never dared to dream something like this. It's something beyond that, something he can't quite name yet. Acknowledgement, perhaps. The dizzying sensation of being seen and recognized and trusted, it makes him feel warm. It makes him feel taller, like a giant, like a mountain. Genovese manners can be a blessing, and today it is one of those cases. Eugenio nods, formally accepting Uncle Niccolo's gesture, and somehow manages to choke out his thanks. Uncle Niccolo replies with thanks of his own, as though Eugenio was doing him a favor. No, more than a favor, a service beyond price.
Eugenio?
Mother's voice drifts from the parlor. Uncle Niccolo throws him an understanding glance and begins to close the door. Don't forget, he says, softly, gently, until we meet again. Eugenio nods and does not linger. Time to face the music. The interview with his parents is unpleasant, though less than expected. When pressed, Eugenio easily admits that not only he sent the letter, but it was also his idea to write to Uncle Niccolo in the first place. He hadn't planned to, but the look on his parents' faces? Extremely satisfying. He doesn't argue with them, not really. He can't help but throw a couple of uncomfortable truths in their faces, but on the whole, he is silent through all the recriminations, the blustering, and the tears. Let them huff and puff. He is no house of straw, no house of sticks. He isn't even a house of bricks. He is a mountain, and mountains do not bow to the wind. A month from now, he will confide in Paride, recounting the whole pathetic experience, and Paride will shake his head at him. You aren't a mountain, Jen. You are a volcano. The type that only looks like a nice mountain and then blows islands to smithereens when it goes off. When they demand explanations they won't hear anyway, he offers not a word. Even being yelled at does not move him. Eventually, father runs out of steam, and mother runs out of tears. Eugenio is banished to his room with the threat of more punishment to come, after said room is thoroughly searched, of course. Father finds the contraband material easily enough. 3 issues of Tutto Quidditch, creased copies of Uncle Niccolo's 2 big interviews, the special World Cup issue of La Domenica Sportiva, all promptly end up in the fireplace and incendioed. Eugenio doesn't bat an eyelid, doesn't even try to protest. He's not sure he could make it convincing. Besides, he likes to think he wouldn't give them the satisfaction even if they could get their hands on his real collection, which is extremely unlikely since it is currently safe with Paride. His reaction, or lack thereof, leaves his parents confused and uneasy, caught between the usual pride for his self-restraint and puzzlement at his lack of care. As if he could ever put things above his own sister, above his own flesh and blood. all those years preaching the importance of family. Eugenio feels his anger rising again, but stomps it down. As great Aunt Lucilla used to say, washing a donkey's head is a waste of time, water, and soap. After the last shred of paper has burnt and the ashes have been vanished, his parents finally leave him alone. The lock turning behind them startles him, though he supposes he should have expected that too. It's just, he has never been locked in a room before. He hasn't been without his wand since the day he bought it, either. It's not the first time he feels powerless, but it's definitely the worst. He sighs, hugging himself, and reminds himself that they'll have to give it back for school. A little over 2 weeks. He can do this. The magic of Air House settles around him like a blanket, though he can feel it being pulled to one side, so to speak. Father must be tightening the wards, making sure that Uncle Niccolo can't come back. Eugenio's heart clenches, but there is really nothing he can do about it, not until he becomes master of Air House himself. It will be one of the very first things he changes, he silently vows. He suddenly yawns, rubbing at his eyes as today's events catch up with him. At least he can still access the bathroom. A few minutes later, he's ready for bed and crawls gratefully under the covers. In spite of his exhaustion, sleep won't come, hovering just out of reach like a cheeky snitch. He keeps tossing and turning, his mind restless. Is Cecilia already in England? Or will they travel by muggle means? Eugenio knows for a fact she can use the flu system, but he is less certain about port keys and sidelong apparition. Will Uncle Niccolo actually take her in? It's a lot to ask. And technically they haven't even asked. If he sent her to some muggle boarding school, it would still be better than that fucking hospital, but still. Cecilia has never been away from family. She needs somebody to support her. If only there was a way to know she's all right without having to wait 4 years. Almost like an answer to a prayer, a silvery otter suddenly climbs in through the window. Eugenio sits up in bed, his heart beating wildly in his chest. Years ago, La Domenica Sportiva ran a series of articles about the international top players' patronesses. He had paid more attention to Uncle Niccolo's mare and Domenico Caldara's Lagotto Romagnolo, but one of the otters belonged to... Impossible. And yet it makes perfect sense. Only a dark ward will stop a patroness, and even if they blocked Uncle Niccolo and his magic, they could not do the same to Yusuf Alcazani's. The otter climbs on his bed, settles down on the covers, and opens its mouth. Hello, Eugenio. This is your Uncle Joe. I'm sorry I couldn't meet you today. I just wanted to tell you everything went well, but I'm sure you'd rather hear it from your sister herself, so without further ado... The otter disappears in a shower of silver sparks, leaving behind a dark blue envelope. Eugenio's hands shake as he opens it, impatient, but careful not to rip it at the same time. The moment he pulls out the blank paper, Cecilia's voice, low and breathless with excitement, begins to speak.
Giorgio, you were right. Uncle Nico and Uncle Joe said I'm going to stay with them, and this will be my home, too. They gave me a room. Not a guest room. I mean, it was a guest room, but now it's mine, and they said I can put anything I want. I can even change the color of the walls, but I won't. Because Uncle Joe chose it for me. Their house is amazing. Uncle Joe is so lovely, and Uncle Nico is so unlike our father. He is nothing like he and our grandparents say he is. He said I'll go to school, a real muggle school, but only when I'm ready. Oh, and I got to pet Ragnetto. He is so soft and fluffy.
Eugenio lays back and lets Cecilia's words wash over him. He did the right thing. He didn't screw up.
His heart is so full of joy, it could burst.
A month from now, when Paride compares him to a volcano, will remember that volcanic events of that size destroy civilizations, too. While he does care for the Genovese family history and traditions, it's time to shake things up.
Chapter 2. Losing Quidditch is hard. Eugenio knew it would happen, of course he did. His parents already allowed him to play on sufferance, and after his stunt, that's how they call it, his stunt, every time he wants to snap back, "What about your crime?" But he always manages to keep it behind his teeth. He does not regret what he did, any of it. He'd do it again if he had to, pay any price, up to and including homeschooling. But losing Quidditch still hurts, especially because Coach DeSalva just lets him go. He's very nice about it, very polite, but the truth is, he won't go to bat for Eugenio. In all fairness, why should he? He's no Nicky Genovese and never will be. Even if he could spend all his time outside class training, which he can't, and, to be completely honest, won't. Eugenio adjusts the strap of his bag and sternly reminds himself he knew it was unlikely Coach DeSalva would act any other way, for several very good reasons, starting with his parents' influence to the effectiveness of the school Quidditch program, all the way down to his own meager skills. But it still stings, a little. It would be nice to have somebody else not fight his battles for him, but at least help. There is a small voice in the back of his mind whispering, 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 "Uncle Niccolo would." But Uncle Niccolo isn't here. He needs to help Cecilia. Eugenio is older. He has magic. He can take care of himself. He slows down a little as the stairs come into view, along with the short, dark-haired boy leaning against the balustrade, Paride, his best friend, waiting. "So, how did it go?" Eugenio sighs and shrugs. "As expected." He started climbing down the stairs back to one of the study rooms. "So you are out of the team?" Paride insists, an obstinate look on his face. Eugenio huffs irritatedly, adjusts the strap of his book bag. Must he really say it out loud? Paride bumps his shoulder against his, and Eugenio pushes back a little harder, huffs again. "Of course I am out. My parents rescinded permission. What did you expect Coach to do?" He's not looking at Paride, but still catches a shift in his expression out of the corner of his eye. "Don't." "Don't what?" Paride replies blandly, innocently, and oh fuck, Eugenio knows that tone. He turns and grabs Paride's arm, pulling him to a stop right there on the stairs. "I am serious. Whatever you are planning, don't. I don't want you to make a fuss or start a riot or..." "A riot? Really? I hadn't considered it, but now that you mention it..." "Paride, don't make me tell Ettore and Cassandra." "What makes you think they would not be on my side this time?" Paride snorts. "Also threatening me with my older siblings. Not cool, man." "I'd threaten you with Polisena and Laudici, too, if we were home," Eugenio mutters. "I don't want you to end up in trouble or cause problems for the team. They do not deserve it." "You do not deserve this," Paride insists, reaching up and squeezing his shoulder tightly. Eugenio is too old to cry, but for a moment his vision blurs with tears. He covers Paride's hand with his own, squeezing it back. "Thank you," he manages to choke out. "For what? It's true." Eugenio takes a deep, shaky breath. "Yeah, but it is what it is. Don't turn it into a crusade, okay?" Paride makes a face. "Okay, but only because you asked. Do you want to go back to the dorm? It should be quiet now." Eugenio considers it. "It's only the first week. Everybody is settling, and they don't have much homework. But not much isn't none. He needs to start his reading for Italian literature and revise his French translation anyway. Isn't Giulio holding a study room for us? We should join him." "If you want," Paride shrugs and wraps an arm around Eugenio's shoulders. "Anyway, I have a surprise for you." Eugenio doesn't know if he looks more wary or alarmed. A surprise. Paride grins. You'll like it, I promise. He half drags Eugenio to the door of one of the study rooms and steps in without knocking. Giulio looks up from his book as they step through the doors and frowns, but remains silent when Paride shakes his head. Instead, he lifts his wand and mutters a spell that pushes two more chairs away from the table on the other side. One wobbles dangerously but doesn't fall. Eugenio collapses on the closer one, but Paride is too impatient. He drops his book bag on the table with a thud, which causes at least two portraits to complain, and a third to awaken rather abruptly from her nap. But he ignores them, too busy searching through the pockets. Eugenio casts a glance at Giulio. Should I worry?
Nah, nothing to worry about.
What have you two been? Ta-da! Paride emerges from his bag, holding an envelope, which he immediately presents to Eugenio. Giulio leans forward in his seat, grinning.
Your surprise.
What, did you get me a sympathy card? All words get stuck in his throat because that's his name on the envelope, in Cecilia's handwriting. It can't be, it's impossible, and yet he can't be wrong. He knows her handwriting too well. They exchanged so many letters in the last 2 years, perhaps since an old one. But Eugenio keeps them in a charmed box that looks empty if anybody else but him opens it. He tears the envelope open and pulls out the letter with shaking hands. The handwriting is still Cecilia's, and the date on top of the sheet is from 2 days ago. Eugenio looks up at his friends.
How?
Your sister remembered our names, Paride explains, puffing up his chest. And your uncles wrote to our parents and asked that they would allow us to pass letters along.
And they accepted? Eugenio asks, incredulous, even when he's holding the proof in his own hands.
Of course. Giulio twirls his wand in his hand and almost drops it. Your parents can't forbid us from receiving mail.
I hope they try, Paride says viciously. Ooh, I hope they fire call and get Mama. They will regret ever being born.
Wait, when did you get this?
With the afternoon post. Paride narrows his eyes at him and crosses his arms over his chest, which you would have known if you hadn't practically skipped lunch.
I didn't skip lunch. I ate, Eugenio replies, blushing.
Admittedly, he had not eaten as much as usual, and he had left the dining hall with some flimsy excuse he doesn't even remember. His upcoming appointment with Coach DiSalvo had tied his stomach in knots.
We thought it might cheer you up after seeing the coach, Giulio adds, sounding a little guilty.
And there really wasn't time between classes, and...
No, it's okay. You were right, Eugenio interrupts. They got him a letter from Cecilia. Right now, they could set all the school brooms on fire, and he would forgive them.
I don't know how to thank...
No need, Paride interrupts him.
No thanks necessary.
Just keep in mind I can threaten you with your sister as well now, Paride winks. Then his expression turns serious again. Do you want us to leave while you read it?
We can go study somewhere else, Giulio assures him, already closing his book.
No, no, it's fine. You can stay. It doesn't bother me.
All right. Better be close at hand in case we have to mount a rescue mission.
What a rescue mission? Giulio ducks as Paride throws a pencil at him. Eugenio tunes out their bickering and dives into the letter. It's long, 2 pages written in Cecilia's small, neat handwriting, and he tears through the words quickly, searching for a request for help or a hint that he made a mistake. He can't find any, though, and his shoulders relax marginally. He reads the letter again from the start, this time more slowly, savoring every word. The picture they paint is reassuring and homey. Cecilia has a room to herself with lilac walls Uncle Joe picked himself and offered to change with magic if she didn't like it. Joe and Nikki have gotten her tutors, useful ones, and have introduced her to their Muggle-born former teammate, Niall Freeman. They have already started showing her the world. She sounds happy. Happier than she did in the letters they exchanged in the past 2 years. It hurts a little, knowing she will grow up away from him, but at least she will get to grow up and be free. At least they will have their letters. Eugenio reads the letter one more time, already half planning the reply. His allowance has been suspended as part of his punishment, but he must find a way to do something nice for Party Day and Giulio. They deserve that, and more. Eugenio's reply will go out with the morning post. Before he gets a reply to that, however, the post brings another unexpected gift. It comes in a big, flat envelope carried by an official-looking owl and addressed to him. Inside, there is a print of the picture of Domenico Caldara himself in his black and blue striped uniform with a handwritten dedication. To Eugenio, I am honored to count you among my fans. Stay true to yourself. Best of luck, Domenico Caldara. There's a letter, too, in the same handwriting of the dedication, and Eugenio can't believe Domenico fucking Caldara is writing to him and offering him sympathy over losing Quidditch and admiration. Admiration! Captain Caldara! For what he did for his sister. Eugenio isn't really sure what it means. He hangs the picture up with his Quidditch posters. The month after that, he gets a signed Booker picture, then one of Chris Huang's and Niall Freeman's, and so many more from former old guards and former International Milan players, even a signed picture from Andromache Scythia, all with a personal dedication and letters offering him advice, encouragement, funny stories about Uncle Nicky, or most often, all three. It's unbelievable. He had often heard about the Quidditch family, but he never thought he would be part of it someday. A small part, infinitesimal, and when school is over, he will have to send them all to Party Days, though Giulio jokingly threatens to steal Chris Huang's. But it feels good to know he is not forgotten.